we want to talk about Yontif. And one of the shailas, a very basic question, is when did the Issa Malacha for Yontif begin? Right? Shabbos we know began in Morah. Right? After they left Mitzrayim, and before they arrived at Har Sinai. Right? Shabbos was Nitin B'Morah. There's a piece, and I don't want to go into the whole lumdus of the piece, but just the piece's observations in Ramea Simcha. It's on base. Not exactly which pasuk it is. He tells us the following. It's in Ramea Simcha. The pasuk is not listed here. That's a problem. Just to be... one more second. Here it is. It's on Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Lamed Dalet. Vayisam es betzekoteram yechmotz, mish'aroisam, the remainder is churois besimloisam al shechmo. In his commentary, without going through the whole Gantz Alam to say, but Nero, the Sorfu HaNoiser B'Yontif, that they burned the Noiser on Yontif. In other words, the Noiser of Pesach Mitzrayim, they burned on Yontif, on the first day of Yontif. I avogav the also this right, even though it's a furish in the Gemara on Shabbos, Chav Dalet, that you're not allowed to burn Noiser on Yontif. On Shabbos. Why? And we know Rav Ashi's conclusion, Psochem Ayin Beis Amid Beis, that Yontif is Asay Veloyis Asay, Loisase Komolocho, and there's a mitzvah of Shabbosim. So the Asay of Sreifus Noiser can't be Doicha Asay Veloyis Asay. So how did they burn Noiser by Pesach Mitzrayim? It says, Vashim da Asay de Shabbosim Kosu B'Yontif. Because there's an asay of Shabbos and Bayontif. And this is this, what calls Manshala, Nidin HaShabbos. Till Shabbos was given, Lonemar Shabbos Bayontif. The din of Shabbos and Bayontif is also not relevant until the Shabbos is given till tomorrow. To Kulo Mekedusha Shabbos. The Shabbos and the mitzvah to say of Yontif stems from the Kedusha Shabbos. In other words, that's the root of all the Shabbos. But as Koydim Matan Torah, or really before they got tomorrow, Adayin lo nema Shabbos and B'yontif. So there was no Shabbos and B'yontif until they got tomorrow. And therefore, Babi Dochi Asay Lelois Asay. So Yontif was only a Lois Asay. Lachain Tzorf and Anoisa B'yontif. And therefore, they could have, but Pesach Mitzrayim, they could have burned the Noisa. That's Ramea Simcha. So there's a phenomenal Chiddush here, and that we don't find explicitly spelled out. Was there an Issa Malacha by Pesach Mitzrayim? Now we have basically the Issa Malacha of Yontif. So we have in Parshas Amoyadis, in Parshas Emor, we read this past Shabbos. So there we have, and by all the Chagim, by Yom Arishon Mikra Kodesh, Yalachem Kamolecha Savoyde Lo Yisasu. That's for Pesach. We have for Shavuos, across the Betzam Yom Hazeh Mikra Kodesh Yelochem Komalecha Savoy Deloisas. And as I write, then we go on to Rosh Hashanah Komalecha Savoy Deloisas. By Yom Kippur Mikra Kodesh Yelochem Komalecha Loisas. And then we go on again to Sukkos, and by Sukkos we have. By Yom Arishon Mikra Kodesh, Komalecha Savoy de Lo Yisasu. And where do we have? And by Yom Hashmini Mikra Kodesh, Komalecha Savoy de Lo Yisasu. So in Parshas HaMoyadis, we have a tzivui for each of the Moyadis, right, throughout the year, for each of the Moyadim. For each of the Ma'adim, we have a tzivui, the Komalecha Savoy de Loisas. So what, where was the Moloch, where was the Iser by Pesach Mitzrayim? What's it based on? So what's suggested in the Rav Kupperman suggests in his commentary on Ramea Simcha, he suggests a very interesting thing. He said that in Parshas Bo we also find Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochilu Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisu Sorm Libotechem. Now, when was this? How long was Pesach Mitzrayim? One day, right? So this din of Shivas Yom Matzah Tochelu Ach Bayom Rishon was not in Pesach Mitzrayim. That's the Pesach that's going to be. Pesach Mitzrayim was one day, the Gemara says. So the Shaila is, if what it says in Bayom Rishon, if that din went on Pesach Mitzrayim. So from Ramea Simcha, it would seem we have to assume, despite the fact that the other dinim here, of Shibbas Yomim, etc., don't apply, that that pasuk, which is the parsha of Achodesh HaZelochem, and that was said in Mitzrayim, even before Mor, that the din of Komoloch HaShalom, that that din covered one day of Pesach Mitzrayim too. That's what we have to assume from Ramea Simcha, which is a phenomenal Chiddush, because the parsha itself is talking about events, is l'chayra projected into the future, when there will be, and Parsha Sameyadis, after Matan Torah, the Tzivoy of the Chagim, so this is telling us some of the dinim that are going to apply that, Bayom HaRishon, Bayom HaShvi, Mikra Kodesh. And certainly the Bayom HaShvi, Mikra Kodesh didn't apply then. So we assume that Komoloch HaYosavahem went back on the Yom HaRishon of Pesach Mitzrayim. It's a phenomenal chiddush of Ramea Simcha, this assumption, but that's all that he has to suggest, because we don't find really a source. We have no source in the Shas. I always wondered about it, what the source of Ramea Simcha, that there's an Issa Melocha. So he postulates there was an Issa Melocha which already applied in Pesach Mitzrayim, in the one day of Pesach Mitzrayim. So that's just talking about Issa Melocha and Yontev. So this is a phenomenal chiddush of Ramea Simcha. This applied.
In Kabbalah's Torah, above Sivan, wherever it was, Zion Sivan, was there an Issa Melocha? On Shavuos that year? I mean, there's no mention at all.
But the sharp part of the problem, we don't even know when Shavuos was that year.
What do you say? It's above Zion?
No, that part of the problem is we're not. That's part of the problem. It doesn't. If the Torah was given on Shavuos and Shavuos was on the 50th day, right, so there's a problem, right? Everyone agrees that the Yitzias Mitzrayim was on Thursday. So that means Mochras HaShabbos is Friday. So if that's the case, then the 50th day was also on Friday. And Matan Torah was on Shabbos, the 51st day. So maybe Matan Torah was in fact the day after Shavuos. And what do we celebrate on Shavuos? Adam Mogad Avram is very busy with this problem in Hilchos Shavuos. So, someone has suggested was given to be Meramez the Indian of 2 days of Shavuos, you know, in the Golos. So, meaning to say, I think it stems from the Asara Mamoros, if I remember correctly, or maybe the Noah, the Ramami Pano. I don't remember which of the two. Maybe the Ramami Pano. That the whole problems with the eagle, well, because they were so sure when the day was. If we had the practices that we had, outside, so maybe they wouldn't have gotten themselves into so much trouble. Maybe they would have decided maybe Yom Tov is tomorrow and they still have to wait, I'll call upon them, but this is a problem. So it's not so clear exactly which day, in the calendar and how many days from the first day of Pesach was exactly Matan Torah, the 50th day, the 51st day. This is a whole confusing matter. And Tov Tzadik Dalet, the Mogen Avraham Grad, addresses it, and it really does not have a very, overwhelming answer for this problem.
That means that Shavuos does not actually commemorate Matan Torah, or just it means
it commemorates. Listen, you Mendelssohn, like, you live in America, right? Washington's birthday could be, and then somewhere is around his birthday.
Monday.
long as it's a Monday, you know? So, but that you could be my eye in the Mogen Rome and Tuf Tzadik Dala today. If you find it illuminating in, so we'll put you up there to tell it to us, because we're still looking, the Klal Yisrael is still looking for one. I'll call upon him. Besidda, Rabbi Yisrael. Besidda would help. Just any sir. Besidda. Yeah. So once more, this Rameya Simcha, let's add one more dimension before we go forward into full blast into Yontif. We make Kiddush Friday night. And there's one phrase in Kiddush which has driven the Mefarshim to distraction. What it's supposed to mean. Just to put it into a declarative sentence is very hard. Ki hu yom tchilo lemikroi Kiddush. Zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim. What are we trying to say? Yom Tchilo. What do I mean? Limikroi Kodesh and Zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim. Bear even in a siddur, the way this Yisrael wants to read, Shabbos, I think, preceded the Mikroi Kodesh, which they are Zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim. But what's the point of the sentence altogether? However you want to slice it, what's it trying to tell me? And this must be a very, very important message, because this is Asher Gishonu. We're being Mekadosh Shabbos. In other words, we're acknowledging the Kedusha Shabbos. That's what Kiddush is. We have to acknowledge the Peder Kedusha Shabbos. So if Shabbos came first, it came second, it came 14th, what does it change anything? This is so important that I have to put it into Kiddush. Tell me Zechel Masav Reishis. Fine, I understand. I'm going to tell me Zechel Tzias Mitzrayim. In the second Dibros, Poshet Pshat is the Shabbos Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim. There's a very lengthy piece in the Ramban about it, quoted verbatim by the Tor Shulchan Aruch, that Shabbos connects us with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is Maaseh Bereishis connects us with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yetzias Mitzrayim connects us again with Maaseh Bereishis. If the Rebbeinu Shem created the world, so that's the rationale, you understand how you come to Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim, how we did all the Nisim of Mitzrayim, because he's the Bari. And particularly in light of the fact, and this is a point by Maiden Maaseh Hashem, by Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, that the Makis touched all of the Asorim Amoros with which the world was created. The meaning of that is that the Rebbeinu Shem showed there's no Chelik of the Bria, which is beyond him. In other words, we had, for example, the Zoroastrians, I believe. Right? Those were the Chavri and Bobel, I believe, were the Zoroastrians. So their belief, there's a God of light, Chalil, and a God of darkness, right? So we include in the Tefillah, Yoytzerer, Baruch Hoshech, Gufa, to express our opposition to their philosophy. So the Makis underscored the fact that the Rebbeinu Shem was shoylet on the entire Bria. There's no aspect of the Bria which escaped. The Ramban also says that from Yetzias Mitzrayim we come back to Maaseh Bereishis. But the ultimate abstraction is Bria Sa'ilu. None of us were there. None of us can have any real understanding and insight of what Bria Sa'ilu was, because we have no parallel experience to it. So it remains something which is an enigma within an enigma. But it is. So sometimes, for that reason, it's so distant from our experience that it could seem, we could seem removed from it. Who could relate to Bria Sa'ilu? So the Ramban says, then we have to approach it from a different angle. Study the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim and ask ourselves, who could conceivably perform all of those Nisim? Only someone that had arranged the world in the first place. So from Yetzias Mitzrayim, we'll close the circle and bring me back to Maaseh Bereishis. And that's what the Gemara in Psachim Kuf Yizayin says, Kiddush Asdav Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim too. Toiv. But what in the world, what is this? Ki hu yom tchila l'mikroi kodesh. What is it? It's first, it's second. What's the point? What's the point? So I believe that Rav Meir Simcha has illuminated the point for us. In other words, that in all the Kedushas HaZman that exists by Klal Yisrael, there's a mitzvah say of Shabbos. It means there's another level of Kedusha besides the Loisasa Komalocha in Mikra Kodesh has Shabbos too. And what we're saying in Kiddush is that it is drawing upon the Kedusha Shabbos, that's the Yisayit of all the Shabbos and all the Chagim. In other words, this is the root of Kedusha Sazman, to such an extent that the Kedusha Shabbos affected the Kedusha of all the Chagim. It's a change in the Kedusha Sazman that existed. So that's what we're saying. You know how important Shabbos is? And it's Chilul LeMikrei Kodesh. It's primary in that sense, not first necessarily. According to Rabbi Simcha, wasn't even first. The Kedushas Yontif came first. The first Mikra Kodesh was in Pesach Mitzrayim when the Ed Shabbos was eaten B'mora. It's not first, but it's primary. In that sense, it's Tchila. Because the root, the sight of Kedushas Hazman, in terms of the Mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos, is all based and stems and flows from the Mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos and by Shabbos. And therefore, that's what we're saying. You know how significant this? This was, it's not only Shabbos, it was Mekadosh, it affected, it altered the Kedushas HaZman of all the Chagim too. Now, we come to Melocha. And what Melocha is a Mutter on Yom Tov, what Melocha is a Osir on Yom Tov, are endless Shittas Rishayim. And there are, it has to do with different versions in the Rishalmi, exactly what's mutter, which malachos are mutter, which malachos are not mutter. And it all stems ultimately from one pasuk. Right? When it tells us that we shouldn't do malacha on Yontif, that same pasuk that we were referring to until now, Yud Beis Tezayin, of Kol Malacha Lo Ye'aseh Bahem, then it proceeds, Ach, asha yeyochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yeyoseh l'chem. Whatever you need for oichol nefesh is hu levado yeyoseh l'chem. So the shayla is, so based on the pasuk, we should only find a heter for oichol nefesh. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It can't be a little more, much more explicit than that. And yet we find in Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph and Masech Derbeya a famed machlokes between Beishamai and Beisilah. Beishamai, in fact, says this goes to buy the Torah. You can't ask for more than that. Ach Hashem Yochel Lechol Nefesh. Only Yochel Nefesh is muta. If it's not Yochel Nefesh, it's dead in the water. Don't even talk about it. So you have to do a bris vila on Yom Tov, and you want to bring the knife, you want to bring a sefer Torah to shul, forget about it. It's awesome. The only thing that's mutter is Eichel Nefesh. And along comes Beis Hillel and says, no, you can carry a sefer Torah, you can carry a knife a mila, you can carry a lulav and esrog. Now the shayla is why. And there are really two different explanations, and the Toch and the Dishas in different places really has different conclusions of what it is. Is it Dishas first in Beil first considers the fact, it's interesting, the Mishnah, oddly enough, talks only about Haitzah. It doesn't talk about anything else, any other Malacha. I mean, if the question is to do a melacha for other things, so why only talk about Eitzah? Why only Eitzah? Let's say I'm going to do a different melacha, which will serve a purpose for me on Yom Tov, but it doesn't fit into Eichel Nefesh. Is it mutter or not? So why only talk about Eitzah? First mahalach in the Gemara in Beya really addresses that. The first mahalach in the Gemara in Beya says, based on a pasuk in Nach, But the Novi admonishes us not to do Hetzor Shabbos, that it would seem that Hetzor Yom Tov is not a Moloch altogether. It wouldn't be so surprising. It wouldn't be so surprising because Hetzor is a Moloch which doesn't fit so readily. Shas even classifies it as a different type of Moloch than all the other 38 Molochs. In Shas we have a statement that Hetzor's Moloch grew. It's an inferior type of Moloch. Now, Pasht is why it's an inferior type of Moloch. And according to the Chayodim and the Biraloch and Shin Yates, this aspect has halacha lemaisa. It's not only a conceptual point. It has halacha lemaisa differences. Poshut pshat melacha, why is it melacha grua? Every melacha has to accomplish something. It means I physically did something left something at the end of my process which wasn't here before. You cooked something, so now something is cooked. It wasn't cooked before. You baked it. You built a table. You did bina. Something, it was a physical change that took place by the Moloch. Hetzor does not have a physical change to it. In that sense, it's Hetzor Moloch grew. That was not only a theoretical point, because we know Sof Kol Sof, at the end of the day, we do have Hetzor in the Torah for Shabbos. Gemara learns it from one of the sources is a Pasuk. Gemara learns it from a Pasuk. But beyond that, so we know it's also, it's in the 39th of the Avos Melachos in Masechet Shabbos. But this fact, this aspect which made it into Melachos grew, so there's a Shaila the following Shaila, a very interesting Shaila. I had this Shaila recently. What's the din if someone is over Hetzor on Shabbos? Over Hetzor on Shabbos. Normally we say, certainly let's say the way the Shulchan Aruch passes, even if he did it b'shoigeg, is osur until after Shabbos. So a guy made a mistake, he didn't realize, whatever, he forgot it's Shabbos or whatever, and he comes to your house and he plunks a challah down on the table. You know, whatever, this shruas, it can happen. He woke up and it was the tumult, he thought it was the first day of Yom Tov already, meanwhile it's still Shabbos. And he comes and he puts the challah down on the table and there's no Erev. So now he did Malocha derives to get his challah to your house. So good, he did it b'shoigeg. I forgot. I slept, I got up, I got to tumult. I thought it was the first day Yom Tov, it's still Shabbos. So now, can you use this challah or not? So according to the Chayodim, and the Chofetz Chaim brings this idea in the Biur Halacha, at the beginning of a Shin Yates, because it may be relevant there too. So, he says, since there's no, physically, nothing was done to it, there was no change in the Heftza, then there's no Isar being Nena from it. So the fact, that which made it Melacha Grua, may in fact even have repercussions in the Halacha Lamais, not only a theoretical difference. And the Chofetz Chaim has a Shaila by Burr, and it's a Shaila how you look at Burr, but one perspective is maybe it's not considered a real Tikkun. And Ramayla wouldn't be awesome if you did it b'shoigeg. So this aspect is the first approach that the Gemara takes. The first approach that the Gemara takes in Masechta Beya is Hetzor is not a Moloch on Yom Tov. And that's the reason that Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel says it's everything's mutter. Yeah, about it, Beis Shammai is right. Moloch is also because oichel nefesh, but it's a chiddush in Yom Tov that in Yom Tov, it's not a Moloch. The Gemara questions that, so that would mean that Beis Hillel's hetter would be very limited, very specific to itself. Then the Gemara questions that, and the Gemara changes its pshat, and the Gemara then comes on to a new notion that mitoch shahutra the tzayrech asutra nami shaloi the tzayrech. So if we take, for example, the pshat of most Rishonim, which is not like Rashi's pshat, the Balei HaTosfos, this is certainly the most widespread of the pshatim, that the tzorech means for oichel nefesh, that's what the Torah talked about. So we talk shahutra, the tzorech, hudranami, shaloi the tzorech, meaning shaloi the tzorech, oichel nefesh. Other types of things. Like we have a shayla, for example, I'll give you an example. there's a machlekes or a rishonim. If you want to burn firewood on Shabbos to make steam, to make heat, to heat the house, right? You want to throw wood into the fireplace and burn it to warm the house on Yontif. On Yontif. So is that mutu because that's begeder oichel nefesh, or it's mutu because of mitoch? That's a shayla and rishonim, the Ran and others. Now, people say it's only mutu because of mitoch, it's not considered oichel nefesh. So why don't we have such a case in the Mishnah? We can think of other cases too. Not everything is tzairach yontif is oichel nefesh. So I want to do a malacha. I want to throw more wood into the fire to be able to learn. So Allah will be right. Allah want to light a candle from the fire to be able to learn. So that's clearly, it's not oichel nefesh by any stretch of the imagination, but it's tzairach yontif. So we basket, it's mutter. You need a candle to learn. You go to an existing fire, you put a candle in, you light it, and sit down, and you learn. So why is that not a doing so? According to the first pshat in the Gemara, that it's all, it all involves itzol, because the heter is itzol. Itzol is not a malacha. But Einachanami, according to the first pshat, I couldn't light a candle to learn, even according to Beis Hillel. According to the second pshat, that we have this notion of mitoch, and mitoch tells us that it's mutter even shaloi letzarech ochel nefesh. So then we can do all types of other things on yontif, which are not the tzarech ochel nefesh. So what a mishnah is only by itzol is a little bit of a problem. It could be, I'm not going to go into today, but it could be that the Gemara in Ksuvus, the way Tosus learns the Gemara in Ksuvus and Dav Zion, that the Gemara in Ksuvus, in fact, its conclusion is like the Gemara's Havamina of the Masechta Beya. And that it saw as Mutter on Yontif because it's not a Malocha altogether. Now we find, for example, it's according to the Rambam, and it may be true as a Machlekes and Pshat and Rashi, that Rashi learned mitoch means mitoch shehutra litzarech means for a purpose. It's hutra nami shaloi litzarech. If there's no tzarech, it's also mutter. So some want to learn, I think, the Rav Magid and the Rambam, that when it comes to haitzah, the Rambam actually holds that way. That haitzah shaloi litzarech is mutter on yontif. Now, it may be mutter for two different reasons. It may be mutter because of mitoch, and it may be mutter because according to the Rambam, haitzah is not a malocha. That's whatever, Be'ezus Hashem. I just published that now. I put out my sefer again, Be'ezus Hashem on Yontif. It'll probably go on sale next week. And so one of the shiurim I added was to explore the Shitas HaRambam in this regard, and the implications, the conflicting aspects with Tosus Shita and Ksuvus, with the Gemara and Beya. So there are different ways to come to this conclusion. Now, one of the very mysterious things in Yontif, and I'm not going to go into that to unravel it, but it's very, very peculiar. Mitoch is a phenomenal chiddush. A phenomenal chiddush. And the Shas doesn't even ask it as a question what this is based on. To me, that's the first question that I would have asked in that sugya. I would have been the nudnik in yeshiva that would have, you know, said the answer is, like, where are you coming from? What's this about? How did you get this? You know, what's the pshat? And yet, the Shas seems to have no problem with it. Like, why not? Why doesn't it have a problem? So the Rishonim have been in the Shita Megubetzes and Ksuvas explore what the Suvas of Mitoich is. Some are understandable, some are not understandable. But that's a whole chiddush in its own right. So what the heter malocha on yontif and the things we do is what it's based on. So according to the simple pshat and shas, it's based on this notion of mitoch. What mitoch is remains mysterious. And there are many, many different shitas of what mitoch means. And say for a chinuch, it's probably the simplest pshat, and that Beis Hillel has a more expansive view of what Oichel Nefesh means. It means any tzairach for a person, any that he has, that's a wall. Oichel Nefesh is more of an example than a klal. And it all fits into that in a heading. That's what it seems in the Sefer HaChinuch. It all fits into Oichel Nefesh. We have in, it's, you know, certainly anything which provides, you know, creature comfort, anyantav, which certainly we can put into Oichel stuff into Oichel Nefesh. So that may be, that's the simplest of the pshatim. Now, this pasuk is a difficult pasuk, and Chazal parsed it very, very carefully. Achashay ochel, what does l'chol nefesh mean? And who levado ye yosel lochem? What does lochem mean? Achashay ochel l'chol nefesh. That word "kol" is very, very, very is very, very significant. Now we might have said, in simple pshat, achashay yochel l'chol nefesh. Right? In Parshas Emor, we have a posik, makin nefesh behemo yishalmeno, nefesh tachas nefesh. So, I might have said l'chol nefesh, maybe nefesh sechta means a human being, but if you say kol nefesh, it's a good svar to include animals in that too. I mean, the Torah calls them in Parshas Emor, nefesh tachas nefesh, calls them a nefesh. I don't know what the morale would have to say about that, if it's a nefesh or not, what type of nefesh, but that's not, the Torah calls them a nefesh, so I'll leave the morale to figure out what it means. But nevertheless, so if we said the whole nefesh, I might have said that it means animals too. The only problem is the Chas learns from Lochem v'loy l'klovim, that it doesn't include animals. It means Lochem v'loy l'akum, it doesn't mean non-Jews either. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't learn there's a machlokes between them. The Shulchan Aruch incorporates both meanings of lochem. In other words, you have to be within lochem. If you're out of lochem, so there's no heter for you. Out of lochem could mean you're not part of the tribe, you're a non-Jew, or you're not part of the species, you're also out of the tribe. So now that kol nefesh can't mean to be matter animals, so what does kol nefesh mean? So the Gemara Ksuvas tells us, and so the Chazanish writes, you know why it's called Torah Shabbat Peh? Because it can never be fully conveyed b'ksav. You cannot fully capture its essence b'ksav. You know, you always, at the end of the day, you have to have a certain insight into what you're reading. And alumnus and a svar. You know, as much as we try, we can't pin it down. I mean, could we understand that we can't pin something down? We wrote Shkiyas Achama in Shas, right? And we have a whole machlokes by an hour almost of what it means. I mean, I would imagine the people who wrote Shas would have imagined that it was about as clear as you could get. And still we spent 1,000 years now fighting about it, what it means. So the Shas says the following. The Shas asks the question that if a person wants to burn incense on Yom Tov, is he allowed to burn incense? I enjoy incense. I personally don't, but people do. So they would like to burn incense. So he allowed to burn incense or not? So the Shah says you can't burn incense. Why? Because it's not Shabbat l'chol nefesh. Acha shayi ochel l'chol nefesh means it has to be Shabbat l'chol nefesh. So whether everyone, maybe there's no such thing as everyone, or it means, maybe it means a preponderance of the people, and maybe it even doesn't even mean a preponderance. Maybe it means as a huge following. Maybe that's also l'chol nefesh. As a very widespread phenomenon. So those are all definitions that we find in the Achrayim and the Rishonim defining what l'chol nefesh means. So Shas says incense is too idiosyncratic a need. So it doesn't fit into l'chol nefesh. Now, this has a lot of broader implications. Shas wants to know if that's the case at that time. Interesting. Today, the world changed. But the world changes always. It's no chiddush. In the time of Shas, and that was the time, in fact, when the English controlled America, so who ate the meat of deer, venison? The royalty. A stam man wouldn't eat it. It wasn't for stam people. Nowadays, the stam guy doesn't want to, he wouldn't eat it if you gave it to him. Right? They say a black Angus is a better steak than a piece of venison. So what does he need a piece of venison for? But as I said, the world changes constantly. My Schwerzel is Angus, where he came from, in Poland. It's an amazing thing. The regular people ate meat. The Gvira made chicken. Chicken was a luxury item. The Kelbloch, calves roamed around, whatever. Everyone had calves, There was what to graze on or whatever. Calves were common. You wanted it, you shechted it. You had a kid that you called. But a chicken was a special thing. This wasn't common, and it was expensive, and the Gvira made chicken. So the regular people ate steak, and the Gvira made chicken. Besides steak, I guess, So the world changes constantly. So the Mura says, then how could you have a Shoichet Tzvi? You shouldn't be able to shech the deer on Yom Tov. So in effect, what we come out is, there's something that every listen. If you charged me a few $100 an ounce, let's say, for goose livers, foie gras, right? Foie gras, how do you pronounce it? Menachem, you come from Montreal.
Foie gras.
Foie gras. Foie gras. Okay. So, listen, I don't have the money to pay for it. But if I had the money, I would also enjoy it. So, that doesn't determine what's the whole nefesh. Just certain things are not in the price range of certain people. But if you served it to them, they would enjoy it too. So, that's also the whole nefesh. So, what do we learn from this L'chol Nefesh besides incense, which is a lot more relevant? I have yet to be asked by anyone. I don't think maybe once I was asked by some guy that wanted to burn incense. Maybe. I don't remember clearly. But, that's not my common problem on Yom Tov. Somebody wants to burn incense and I have to tell him he's not allowed. But the Shaila is the following. If something which is done for the purpose of health purposes, is that considered L'chol Nefesh or not? So we can look at it from different standpoints. Listen, everyone wants to be healthy, so it's something, a desire that everyone has. So maybe it's the whole nefesh. But on the other hand, what you have to do to be healthy, most people don't have to do. They are healthy. So the guy that has to do it is not exactly what he's doing, something which is not the whole nefesh, it's not universal. The end result that he wants to achieve is a universal end result, yeah. But what he wants to do is not universal. It was to eat is universal. So one guy eats a steak, one guy a chicken, one guy a potato, one guy a piece of deer venison. But a guy that has to take a particular medicine and he needs to do a malacha for it, good. So the end result is similar to everyone else, but in the process of what he's doing, he's not. So it's the chayodom. The chayodom brings a raya from a Gemara in Sukkah that medicinal purposes are not considered shovel l'chol nefesh. Why? Because the Gemara concludes, can you ma'aser sheni, you're restricted on what you could use it for. One of the things that has to be shovel l'chol nefesh. So the Gemara said, can you take ma'aser sheni and use it molugma, use it for medicinal purposes? So the Gemara says, it's not considered shovel l'chol nefesh. So the chayodom, or Chayodom brings a raya from there that medicinal purposes are not shovel l'chol nefesh. So, does this apply equally to Yom Tov? Not everyone necessarily agrees. This is true in Hilchos Yom Tov too. So, yes, Rav Yosef Zatzal. Are you allowed to add water? If I have a way of adding water without closing the machine to a hot water vaporizer. There are ways to do it. You could make a little hole in it, for example, and put a little tube. And while it's on, you can dump water. You don't have to open the top. You can just have a place to pour water in. Put a little funnel in a hole. You'll have another place the steam will come out, but you can add water without turning it off. So while it's still going, I want to add water to a hot water vaporizer and turn it into steam. Anyantav, are you allowed? So I should say it's mutter. Listen, it's bishul, it's true. And I should say it's mutter because of mitoich. So he told me it's not mutter. So he liked me enough that I could get away with this. So, you know, he let me. So I came back the next day and I wrote a Tshuvas Ksav Sofer. And I showed from the Tshuvas Ksav Sofer built it up by Yeshua that a health purpose is considered Shavu the whole Nefesh. It's Mutra Nyantav. So he liked me. Otherwise, if he didn't like you, he would have told the Chaim or the Shalom, you know, enough time, you know. Onwards, I'm not here to pilpa with you, you know, the next person would have Shaila. But he rather liked me, so I was able to do such things. So he says to me, he says, that has to do with Pshat and Atosis, and Daf Lama Tesam, and Bezim, and Sechta Shabbos. And there are very Pshatim in Atosis. So even if we, let's say, at the best, that we grant the Pnei Yeshua his Pshat and Atosis. So it would say that health purposes are mutter, and you want them to consider Shabbat Lechol Nefesh. So that's the strongest case we could make for that tzad is we'll accept the Pnei Yeshua's Pshat and Taisus. This is, but the Imre Bina brings that both the Ramban and the Urayim both say that health purposes are not considered Shabbat Lechol Nefesh. So even if we grant them as Pshat, still we have Rav Rishonim not like that. And others dispute as Pshat and Taisus. So even Taisus doesn't agree with that. So we wind up that health purposes are not considered Shabbat Lechol Nefesh, Lahalochel. Now, this is a very, very serious implications. It's not only the case that it means all types of malacha, which if we have to do malacha for medicinal purposes, it's a problem. So we come up to a very strange thing, almost. That if you live in a place where you don't have an Eruv, on Yom Tov, and you need to bring medicine with you, let's say you have to go to the pharmacy, a guy needs medicine. Someone just came to me last Shabbos. He ran to the pharmacy, he needed medicine for someone in his family. It was 5:20 in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, and the pharmacy was closed. So they wanted to know if he was allowed to go in a pharmacy that's open on Shabbos. I told him he was allowed to go in, and the pharmacy there's no Marasaya. People know people are sick, and you need medicine for a sick person, so there's no Marasaya. So here is Baruch Hashem, there's an Eruv, so he was able to take the medicine on. What happens if it's Yom Tov? There's no Eruv. So the Chari come back again that medicinal purposes are not Shavu Lechol Nefesh. So you couldn't carry the medicine home with you. Now, you could ask a non-Jew to bring it for you. That's why, because for a Chayli Kol Gufo, someone that's ill, even though he's not dangerously ill, so the halacha in Shin Chav Ches is that you can ask a guy to do any of all malachas for you, even on Shabbos, so certainly on Yom Tov. So you can get it delivered, but you couldn't actually deliver it yourself. Which is one of the reasons that we have to be careful, in fact, to keep the Erev, make sure the Erev is up for Yom Tov too. We don't have the luxury of leaving it down because there are many things which are not mutter on Yom Tov. And medicinal purposes are one of them. So this comes from the Pasuk, Ach Asher Ye'ochel L'chol Nefesh. Ramesha struggles, and I'll end with this, how to look at smoking with Maraza. He says, on one hand, we certainly should say, he does not want and believes the whole world has to do it to make it to fit into the Chol Nefesh, but it has to be a very, very widespread practice. But he says, something that many people won't do because of health concerns, so how could you consider that Shavu the Chol Nefesh? It's sort of, maybe I don't eat steak, but if you gave me a steak, I might like it, whatever. But something that I'm mocked, but there's no way in the world that I would ever do, how can you consider that Shavu Lechol Nefesh? So Ramosha writes, he says, a Bal Nefesh should be machmer. He says, it's hard to ask for something which tens of millions of people do and say it's not Shavu Lechol Nefesh. But certainly there's consideration that since many people are makpid that they would never do it. So he says, a Bal Nefesh should be machmer not to smoke on Yom Tov. So this also fits in, stems from how we understand the klal Hoshoba l'chol nefesh. So it's a principle with a lot of very, very practical application to it.
Bathing
Malacha. What?
So how, according to Moshe, bathing then, at least in terms of that it's many people, even if it's not most, should be shovel l'chol nefesh.
Yeah, but l'maisa, he did not hold that. That I have been succeeded in, I succeeded in finding out. Rav Moshe did not hold he could bathe on Yom Tov. The reasons, I don't know exactly.
Is the Yisra of the Gzera of Rechitza applied to Yom Tov?
Well, L'chayre it applies, but that was only if you're going to learn whatever in the Rambam and Rifshita. But if you learn like Taisus, then it's a deraisa, L'chayre should have been mutter.
It should
seem that it should be mutter. Yet Rav Moshe did not want to sign off on that.
Can one carry a tissue on Yom Tov?
Yeah, tissue I don't think is an issue of people need for a lot of reasons. I don't think it's medicinal. You know, something gets in your eye, whatever, you want to, it's wet, you want to wipe it off, it's uncomfortable. It could happen for a lot of reasons. You want to wipe your glasses. A lot of reasons you could, you know, things you could use tissues for.
But a person could turn on the hot water to wash his hands and face
him. Absolutely. Just in the last short period before the last wall, before Shkia, you shouldn't do it at the end of the day of Yom Tov. Okay, Rabbi, I will hold it at this point.